wire biter. Walking out of the space cafe with a grin on my face, the corridor in front of me was of a dark matte screen. Everything was a screen on the ever-present. There was a time when it was thought people would wear visors or glasses that could project your personal metaverse around you. In reality, there was no way to stop people from walking off train station runways or finding numerous other ways to off themselves in clumsy air. Plus, the visors fucked up your vision, not allowing your eyes to focus on different distances. Everything eventually became a screen. Everything became the metaverse. Stopping in the middle of the 12x12 corridor, I bent over to roll my pant legs up underneath my calf and unbutton my shirt, then lastly put on my shades that were a permanent part of my wardrobe. With a quick double clap of my hands, the dark ceiling began to bleed Caribbean blue. The ground became a rush of white sand, and from the sides, a crystal clear tropical waters emerged, extending into the horizon in all directions. I stood on the sand path, looking at my feet adorned in thong flip-flops. I could feel the sand. There was a salty breeze. It was beautiful. Fake, but beautiful. "Mother," I asked out loud, "what is the UV index today?" P1222. The ultraviolet index is high. It's recommended that you wear sunscreen. I laughed and walked through the sand. I enjoyed a little sun. It was great for vitamin D production. Though I could control my environment somewhat, the weather was random. There were many random inefficiencies programmed in. The first 5 years of the voyage, there was a mass depression amongst the crew. It was so bad, the cyborgs started to actually mirror the condition. It was determined that things were too perfect, so everything has random inefficiency programmed in thereafter. So people have commonalities to complain about. For the record, I did not have depression. I was fine. I liked it perfect. But as I walked the sandy path forward and listened to the waves and seabirds, I just thought to myself, you have to go with the flow. Looking ahead, there was a tight three-man formation approaching. "Cocksucker," I said under my breath. It looked ridiculous, marching in military jackboots on my sandy path. Nearing, it was worse than I thought. Lieutenant F-200 and two of his butt buddies in tow. He was a major league dickhead. Oh, what a downer. From the distance, he hailed me. "Tutu," he said, with a shit-eating grin on his face. He knew I hated the abbrevio of my space tag. "Look, you must have just finished breakfast. It's not even 1 p.m. yet. What's the occasion, getting up so early?" I just looked at him with no answer, waiting for his berating to finish. "Well, I suppose there's no real reason to get up early when you're working on a flat, sideways progress in your career field," he laughed. And his two comrades laughed as well. "Right on cue," I said. He stepped in front of me and poked me roughly in the sternum, watching my eyes for a reaction. "What the fuck are you wearing? Fucking flip-flops?" "Tutu, you can't afford boots?" he questioned. He was in a dark, heavy canvas military fatigues, jack boots, and leather gloves that nearly reached his elbow. He had a full head of blonde hair and was heavily muscled and young. He began the voyage on the ship at 5 years old. He had never known anything but the starship. Now, at 21, he was a cunt. He pokes harder, to which I noticed his stance would allow me to get one kick off as hard as I could, right to his sack. He withdrew his finger. "Give me a reason, Tutu. Give me a reason." "Lieutenant," I said through gritted teeth. He, eye-locked, said, "Please, call me F-200. He smiled. He even had a cool space tag. I hated him. He then turned back the way he was coming and nodded for his boys to follow behind me. You're needed on C deck. I'm off duty, he laughed. I've been checking your records. You're barely on duty. Besides, you're the closest exterminator to the area, and this falls under the proximity clause. You're coming, like it or not. I followed begrudgingly. It felt like he was my boss, which made me despise him even more. It wasn't long until he stopped, turning to his right and stomped his boot twice on the floor. It made a metallic thud through my white sand. Everything became black. He had overridden my metaverse. Taking off his gauntlets and setting them down as makeshift knee pads, he grabbed the corner of a floor grate and, prying it up, his henchmen stepped in to help lift it off. They visibly struggled moving the thick steel grate. They then carefully leaned it against the wall and just all looked at me. Guys, I said. They were all smiling now. We've sensed three of them down there right now. Three of what, I asked. Wire biters. Dude, I don't even have my gear. He just looked at me. Like, it's your job to be prepared. Mother is everyone's first responsibility. I sighed. Fine. I looked down at the pair of gauntlets, looking back up one last time at Lieutenant Dickhead. Hey, fuck you guys, I said, jumping headfirst down the hole, but not before grabbing one of F-200's fine leather gauntlets. He reached for my foot, but only caught a flop that tore away clean. He yelled after me, those are 250 credits, you asshole. My laughter echoed and reverberated back up the shaft. F-200 shouted, fuck. Fuck him, he said. Seal it back up. He grabbed the remaining leather glove and put it on, and then tore it off and threw it to the ground. He looked ridiculous with only one gauntlet. Seal it up, he walked away. The henchmen looked at each other and grabbed the grate, visibly struggling harder to replace it. F-200 walked out of sight as they complied. Free-falling down the shaft was not as scary as you would think. The mechanical accesses were free of gravity, so workers could quickly move through and also move heavy equipment into position when necessary. I could feel myself decelerating. Must be close. Mother was picking up my biogenetics and bringing me to the location. My locomotion was silent. Ahead, there were sparks splashing from the wall. This was it. Wire biters located. I glided through the middle of the shaft, slowly approaching. I was there, behind two medium-ish sized rats, chewing incessantly on the rubber-encased wires. Sparks did not scare them. They just kept gnawing, and the sounds of the teeth on copper cable was unnerving. It was then the smaller of the two rodents snapped its head straight back and hissed at me, alerting its mate. He jumped at me, open mouth and teeth gnashing wildly. Honestly, I jumped out of my skin in disgust. These varmin are repugnant creatures. Not having had enough time to put the gauntlet on, I swung it like I was in a medieval duel, slapping the rat out of the air, which bashed against the wall, seemingly knocking it out. Rat urine dripped out of him. Gross. Now, backed up into the corner, the fatter, bigger rat hissed and postured. I put my fine leather glove on and with open hand reached the cornered wire biter. It snapped a hold of the glove in a biting fashion. My four remaining fingers pinned it against the wall and grabbed it. Biting at the leather in useless defense, I looked around. I thought there were supposed to be three. I squeezed the rat till I heard its bones crunching in my hand, and a little puff of air leaked out of it when its lungs collapsed. Then let out a little fart, and I saw the third biter. It was a newborn pink. I must have squished it out of her. I looked at it, struggling to make sense of the world it just got shit into. I almost felt badly, but there was a zero-tolerance policy for wire biters on this ship. I struck down with my hand and smashed its little body against the metal floor. Mother! Yes, P-12022. This section is clear of wire biters. I'm checking off duty. Schedule electrical for repair? Thank you, P-12022. I can't describe to you how much it itches me when my neural cables are eaten. The walls became quiet again. I scooped the dead rats and put them into the gauntlet. It made a pretty good carrying case. I thought about F-200 and gripped the body of the glove as hard as I could until I could hear a squishing sound. Lieutenant Dickhead, I said out loud. I looked at my real-time space indicator. Ha! C-Deck. I might as well go to church while I'm here. I've wanted to speak with Father P-156. I had a few things I wanted to get off my chest.